story, and that's why I appreciated Megan being willing to do it again. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, because that was truly a blessing, wasn't it? Amen. I love that variation of that old song. Well, want to know how to get out of church early tonight? Answer the pop quiz. We're going to have a quiz before the message. If you figure this one out, you know, if Rod doesn't lock the back door, you got to, is it? Okay, well, forget it. I was going to say you could leave early. Okay. Old Testament character mentioned more in the New Testament than any other but two other Old Testament. That's not a very good question. I guess I've lost my teaching skills after so many years. I used to love to give quizzes to the kids. Okay, there are two other Old Testament characters that are mentioned more than the one we're going to speak about tonight. Want to try and see if you get to go home early? Can you think who might be one of the first one or two? Brother Dave?
Moses.
Okay, Moses is one of the most two. Anybody want to come up with the other one? You are something else. Okay, go ahead and go. Elijah is third most often Old Testament character mentioned in the New Testament. Isn't that something? That's something we don't often think about. David and Moses are one and two. Elijah is number three. I think that's pretty awesome when you stop and think about it. And I think it's significant too. You will find Elijah's name in the New Testament 30 times. From Matthew to Revelation. And actually, he was one of only two Old Testament celebrities seen in the New Testament, the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses, and Elijah. So he was rather a very, very important figure. As I thought about that, I think that there are five things that are significant about Elijah and that should really be significant for us tonight and in the world in which we live. And those three things all start with the letter P so that they're easy to remember. The first one is plan, the second one is purpose, the third one is prayer, the fourth one is peace, and the fifth one is power. I'm not going to really preach on those five things, so that's a relief, right? 5 points are too many, but I want you to consider them. God's plan was Elijah's purpose, and after his prayer, which brought peace, he had power. And so if you will turn with me, please, tonight to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. And oh, so many of us are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it anyway, please, just so that we get a feel for what happens here and we know where we're going. First Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1, Elijah steps on the scene of biblical history from nowhere. We know nothing of his past. We really have no idea why it was that God called Elijah, except that he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. God's plan became Elijah's purpose. And beloved, tonight, if you and I'll preach to myself mostly, if I can make God's plan my purpose in life, then I will have a value to remain here. And I challenge you with the same thought. We're going to read fast, so listen quickly. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Quickly turn over a couple of pages, please, to 2 Kings and chapter 2. And beginning there in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. But they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he, Elisha, said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too, that's Elijah, Elisha, stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he, Elijah, said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Let's pray. Father, we might well ask tonight, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where indeed is the Lord God of Elijah? Father, this world needs to see the God of Elijah. And Father, since Elijah is no longer here, and because you have left us here, we believe, Father, we are convinced, God, that the only way the world will see the Lord God of Elijah is if indeed they see him through us. Father, you have left us here for a purpose. You do have a plan. And in that plan, Father, you have designed to use men to show your power and your grace and your love and, yea, verily, even your judgment. Where indeed, Father, is the Lord God of Elijah? And why, Father, why can we not be the means of showing the world that you are still very, very real and very interested in touching lives and working for your glory? And so, Father, tonight we commit the service to you. We pray, Father, that we might see things that would encourage us tonight to trust you, that our hearts cry out, Father, to see you work, to see you evidence your power in this wicked, sinful, lost world that we live in. And Father, we know that there's only one answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ, the Lord God of Elijah. Bless your word, I pray, Father. Bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Select verses from Psalms, 1 Chronicles. And Deuteronomy. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy work. I muse on the works of thy hands. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Remember the marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Declare his glory. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the mercies of the Lord and his strength and his marvelous works that he hath done. Only take heed to thyself, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Ending in Psalm 77. I was sharing with Brother Brad before the service that I am so thankful. In the last nearly 2 years, God has really worked in my life. You know, it is interesting, and I'm sure you can verify this, that a consistent Christian life is totally unbelievable. Almost unattainable. We have our ups and downs. We're close to the Lord, and then we walk our own way for a while. But the COVID thing really brought me face to face with what I'm doing here. And all of a sudden, I started thinking back, as those verses said, I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of all thy doings. I thought back, what has God done for me and what am I doing here for him? And I think of Elijah, a tremendous man used of God in a miraculous way that has not ever been repeated. And I thought, where is the God of Elijah? Because the only difference was that God had a willing life. God is the same, isn't he? And I want you to see tonight that the same God who blessed and used Elijah is just waiting to bless and use me and you and you. And so, as we consider that tonight, I thought, you know, yes, God has a plan. Elijah made it his purpose. And then by prayer, he got peace with God. It's there if we had time to look at it. And when it was all said and done, evidenced God's power. And later, a few verses, on the top of Mount Carmel, he cried out to the children of Israel because God wanted to use Elijah to bring revival. Israel, at that time, had an Ahab in the White House. And I suspect that Jezebel was right behind him, right? Also in the White House. Folks, let me tell you what. There was a problem there. We've got a problem here. Can we believe and can we appropriate the God of Elijah? Can we see him move? Can we see him exercise his power that we might see some revival? And I remember as he prayed up there on top of Mount Carmel, he said, there is the sound of abundance of rain. You know, folks, wouldn't it be great if we could see some showers of blessing? Oh, yes, God has blessed. But showers are only precursor to a good rain. Quickly, though, let's look at a couple of things about Elijah that were unique. For Elijah had a God who was real and who cared about him. And that's why Elisha, after he had followed Elijah and seen the ministry of this great man of God, and Elijah is taken from him, he cries out as he rolls together that mantle and he strikes the Jordan River, and the waters move back, and they walk over on dry ground to get there, and now he goes back. He cries out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let me tell you three things about Elijah that should be evident in our lives tonight. First of all, Elijah's God guides his people. Elijah's God guides his people. He guides his people in a miraculous way. Now, if we go back here to verse 1 of chapter 17 of 1 Kings, you will find that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in verse 2. In verse 3, he said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Let me ask you something tonight. Does God still guide his people? And are we, am I willing to let him guide me? You know, I think back of an almost wasted life as I consider the many times that I was so busy doing my own thing that I did not even consider whether or not God was guiding me to do what I was doing. I had things to do. How about you? So often we get caught up in the things that we want to do and the way we want to run our lives and the potential of living that we forget all about allowing God to guide us. Sometimes we pray, and if we don't get an instant answer, we're on to the next thing. I guess we're so used to instant things, you know, instant coffee and instant oatmeal. That's terrible. I don't know who would want that. But we never spend time finding out what it is that God wants us to do, what God's plan is, so that we can make it our purpose. Will God guide you if you let him? Will God guide me if I will let him? Had you ever thought about Elijah and the tremendous faith that it took for him? As God said, Elijah, go and point your bony finger under the nose of Ahab and tell him it's not going to rain until I tell it to. And then turn and run. Didn't exactly say that. But what would you have done if you had faced, or if I had faced, a king that had the power of life and death at the snap of his fingers, and God tells me to go and tell him that it's not going to rain unless I tell it to? Would that take some faith? I believe it would. I believe that God expected, and Elijah worked in belief, or excuse me, in response to his faith. And he went and hid by the brook Cherith. Has God ever asked you to do something by faith? Something big? Something really outstanding? And what was your response? Many things that God tells us to do in his word, we don't have to pray about. We just obey. But there are times that God asks us to do things that are totally outside of human sense. I could take you back to the first experience that I had like that. 50 years ago, God called a guy down in Denver, had a business in North Broadway, had a bunch of people working for him, family members, his parents, his wife's parents, brothers. And God came and said, not in person, but God came and said, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to get rid of all of this. I want you to go on the road and be an evangelist. I want you to travel and preach the gospel. The furthest thing that could have ever come into my life would be God calling me to do that. But Lord, how can I do that? I don't know the first thing about it. You know what? When it comes to walking by faith, we don't have to know the first thing about it, do we? As a matter of fact, if we did know, it wouldn't be faith at all. But you know what? God guides his people. And when God has a job to do, it doesn't matter what we know. All that matters is, will we do it? I want to tell you that God will work miracles. Elijah's God still exists, and Elijah's God still wants to fulfill his commitment to us, and he still wants us to walk by faith, even as Elijah did when he confronted King Ahab and then went down and hid by the brook Cherith. Remember the verses that I shared with you. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord in his marvelous works that he hath done. God said, I want you to do this. I said, how? And then God began to work. Would you believe? I called up the landlord. My particular warehouse that I was in at that particular time was owned by Wellborn. Wellborn was a big developer in Denver in the 60s and 70s. And I called my landlord and I said, I can't remember his name. I called the landlord and I said, could I talk to Mr. Wellborn? And the girl said, I'll see if he's available. And so all of a sudden a voice came on the line. And I said, is this Mr. Wellborn? No, this is so-and-so. I'm the leasing agent for Mr. Wellborn. And I said, well, I really wanted to talk to him. I've got a question to ask. And so the gentleman said, well, I'm sorry he's not available. Could I perhaps answer your question? I was backed into a corner. I said, well, okay. I said, I believe that God has called me to be an evangelist, and I need to be able to close my business, and I would like permission to sublet the lease on this warehouse so that I can go and do what God wants me to do. And he said, what did you say God wants you to do? I'd explain to him. And I used an illustration that at least most people could understand. I said, well, you know who Billy Graham is? He's an evangelist. Oh, yeah, I understand. And he said, well, and you want to do what? I said, I would like permission to sublet my building because I owed over $100,000 on a lease on that building. And so I spoke to him a few minutes more, and he asked me, well, why are you doing this? And I simply could only tell him, I believe that God has asked me to do this. And God guides his people. Elijah's God guides his people. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will talk to Mr. Wellborn and I'll get back to you. I said, okay. I said, that would be great. And the sooner the better. Folks, do you know what? Elijah's God's still alive. What do you think happened? How many of us have had $100,000 plus? Without God's intervention, it'll never happen. He called me back a couple of days later, and he said, I've talked to Mr. Wellborn. He said, and you don't need to worry about it. It's okay. And I said, okay. I said, it would be okay if I sublet this building, if I can find someone to take over the lease. He said, no. He said, don't worry about it. He said, just let us know when you're closing the business out, and we'll take care of it. Does Elijah's God guide his people? Does he? Elijah's God. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now let me ask you, is he any different today than he was in 1970 or he was in Elijah's day? Not at all. No different. He still does that. I think of so many times during my life, and I trust that you might think of those times in your life when God guided you to follow him and do what he asked you to do, and the only way that you could do it was to step out on faith. I well remember. Guess whose parents weren't very excited about that decision? Oh, my wife's parents. What kind of an idiot is he? They were very much opposed to that particular thing. And I guess, you know what? When God gives the faith, I just never even thought about it. How are we going to live? What are we going to do? I determined God guides his people. I said, we'll sell our house. We'll buy one of those great big sardine cans on wheels. And we'll live in that. And we'll go wherever God calls us to go. The Brook Cherith or Zarephath. God guides his people. And the miracles that God did and started to do at that time, never quit. Never quit. And folks, it was just one thing after another. Eventually after I could spend all night sharing with you the fantastic things that God did. And I wish I had time. But after a number of years and the stress and the problems got too much for my wife, I went to Pastor Nelson at South Sheridan and I said, Pastor, I said, what do you think I ought to do? We were working out of South Sheridan, and that was our home church. We were working out of there, and I said, Pastor, what should I do? My wife is just about to have a nervous breakdown. And he said to me, well, I've got an answer for you, because naturally, Elijah's God still guides his people. And he said, why don't you come and work for me on the staff at South Sheridan? And I said, really? Because it's easy to let our faith lapse, isn't it? It's easy not to believe when God does miracles that we're not expecting. So we went to work there. But one thing after another, God kept right on guiding. After I'd been there for a number of times, he called me in and he said, Brother Paul, there's a church in Greeley, Colorado that needs a pastor. Why don't you go up there and candidate at that church? So what did I do? I hooked my sardine can trailer that we'd been living in for many, many years, and I pulled it up to Greeley, and we candidated at a church here in Greeley, Colorado, and they called us to pastor. I said, God, you still guide your people, don't you? You still guide your people. Oh, yes, and the years went by, and God blessed. But unfortunately, Satan never sleeps, does he? And even though God guides his people, sometimes, I think back and I blame myself for not watching, not being careful enough. And once again, the devil attacked my wife. God put me into the ministry. My wife took me out. But meanwhile, and this was funny, because last men's Bible study last Tuesday morning, one of the fellows afterwards, after Bible study, we went to eat. And one of the fellows asked me, he said, by the way, how'd you ever get in the trophy business? And I told him, and Pastor looked at me and he said, I never knew that. I said, well, when it came to Greeley, to pastor the church, it had a school. And many of you have heard of ACE school. That's what it was. It was an ACE school. And after the first year of school, we got to the end of school, and I found out that they had been used to having some little trophies for the kids who excelled during the school year. And so some of the folks came to me and they said, what are we going to do for trophies? And I said, what? I'd never heard of trophies before. But you know what? God guides his people, doesn't he? And to make a long story short, I got introduced to trophies. And so years later, God was still guiding. And when my wife left me and I had to leave the ministry, I already had a background in the next ministry that God was to give me, and that was the award and trophy business. We used to ship stuff to all of the ACE conventions all across America, about 35 different states, because as things had developed, they had come to us for their awards for their state conventions for year end. Does God guide his people? Does he take care of us? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Will we let him guide us? Elijah's God guides his people. And then Elijah's God hides his people. Let me just share with you a thought quickly. When God directs our step, he protects us and takes care of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And God is ready to provide. Have you ever thought about this? When God guides, he hides. When God hides, he provides. So God guiding has also promised that Elijah's God will hide his people. Did you ever read God Smuggler? God made blind eyes to see, Brother Andrew said, as he tried to smuggle the Bibles into the Iron Curtain. Now make seeing eyes blind. God made blind eyes to see. Now God makes seeing eyes blind. I could spend all night telling you how God hid us those many years that he had us traveling. I could tell you of absolutely phenomenal ways in which God miraculously protected us. I think of the time, the night that we were up in South Dakota at a campground, and a storm came up. And it was quite a storm. It was a raging storm. In the middle of the night, we heard a crash. The next morning, we found out that the storm was so bad, it broke the top out of a tree next to the trailer next to us. And the top of the tree came down and went right through the roof of the trailer. God hides his people from harm. And Elijah was there by the brook Cherith, and God hid him from Ahab. I remember we were coming across from Dodge City, Kansas, through Lamar. Some of you know where that is. We were coming across, I can't remember, I think we'd preached in the church in Lamar. But after 50 years, my brain is a little fuzzy. But I do remember an experience once again how God hid us from harm. We were traveling west of Lamar on whatever road that is. And all of a sudden, a tremendous gust of wind came, broadsided our travel trailer and car, ripped the awning. One complete side of the trailer had a 25-foot awning on it. Ripped that awning loose, took it up in the air, and flipped it completely over on the other side of the trailer as we were traveling 60, 65 miles an hour down the road. Does God take care of his people? You bet he does. Only time anything like that ever happened, but I stopped. Hadn't been there more than a few minutes. Now, by the way, how do you take care of something like that when you have no ladder and you have a wife and a little kid and you are stressed out trying to figure out what to do? God, you call this hiding me? Oh my, just a few minutes. Somebody came along and stopped and helped me take care of it. By the way, I still have a piece of that awning just to remember that Elijah's God hides his people. Oh, right. Heading over to Durango, the Four Corners area, heading for Wolf Creek Pass over there, and all of a sudden, right in front of me, a car coming toward us with a U-Haul trailer behind him. A big one, a covered U-Haul, probably a 5x8. I've drug a lot of U-Haul trailers. And all of a sudden, that travel trailer behind that car started doing the puppy dog trick. Have you ever seen a travel trailer come whoosh, 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 coming straight at? I've never seen anything like it before. I've never seen anything like it since. But all of a sudden, that trailer went right back in line behind that car. Elijah's God hides his people. He really does. And in these last couple of years, he has done the same thing over and over and over, folks. And he's not done yet. He still wants to do miracles for you and me. Elijah's God guides his people, and Elijah's God hides his people, and Elijah's God provides for his people. Remember, when God guides, he hides, and when God hides, he provides. Have you ever been forced to live by faith? I remember when God asked us to close the business, sell our home. God did miracle after miracle in order for us to be able to leave everything behind and go on the road and just simply trust him. And from one thing after another, God's grace was sufficient and his power was evidenced. Why? Because he wants us to believe that the Lord God of Elijah is still alive today and he still wants to bless us. Folks, God has blessed this church. We have seen showers of blessing, but we need more. Are we planting the seeds? You know, one of the things that I learned as a farm boy was you never get a harvest unless you plant the seeds. You never get a harvest unless you plant the seeds. God has so burdened my heart with this in the last year and a half, 2 years, with this COVID thing, that I consistently ask God, God, use me. May I be fruitful. May I be usable. God has provided for months and months and months and months last year. I would pray, God, this is your business. Send us orders. We need orders. So many people going out of business. So many people having problems. I have shared in the past a few things that God did miraculously, but he did it all the time, over and over. God answered prayer. And we lost a third of our business and half of my staff. But God has so blessed and so greatly provided. I no longer spend time praying, God, send orders. I now pray, God, send rain. God, send rain. And then I pray, God, let me plant some seed today. And every day I try to make it a point to talk to the people that come in or wherever I go to tell them about Elijah's God. And I could think back of just this past week. Yesterday, it was a guy that walked in the front door of the store. The day before, I was at a meeting of all of the downtown merchants and the hostess and the people of the meeting heard that Elijah's God is real from my lips. The morning before that, I had breakfast with the banker, and I gave testimony to him. Why? Because Elijah's God is real, and Elijah's God wants to effect revival in our hearts and in our church, and he can do it. It wasn't a crowd that brought revival to Israel on the top of Mount Carmel. As Elijah stood there and right before he offered the sacrifice, he said to the nation that had gathered there, the Israelites, he said, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know what I found today? Everybody in Greeley is religious. Everybody believes in God. The problem is it's their own God they believe in, not the God of Elijah. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Well, for one thing, he's in here. And I hope he's in you too. And if he is, folks, let's live it. Let's live it. Because Elijah's God guides his people. And Elijah's God hides his people. And Elijah's God provides for his people. And when God guides, he hides. And when God hides, he provides. Believe it? Let's pray for rain. Let's pray for rain. There needs to be showers of blessing. And we certainly won't see those because of the Ahabs in the White House. We'll see it because of the Elijahs in the church who still believe in this same Elijah's God. Let's pray.